That makes a gross noise when you step on it. Unsquish the Fish with your host, Ron Caniff.
All right, Dolphins fans. Whether you hate them, whether you love them, or whether you were somewhere in between, you got Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback for a while. Obviously, the contract still 2020 doesn't mean if things went south, that's how long we got him. But we definitely got him for a while. If you're a lover of Ryan Tannehill, you should just stand up and give yourself a hand. You were right. Now you're going to ask me, what do you mean they were right? Ain't done nothing. He's done the same thing he did the first three seasons. That hasn't changed that. It hasn't changed 7-9, 8-8, 8-8. But if Tannenbaum and Hickey, his job is on the line. He's on the hook for this quarterback. He's now as connected to this quarterback as Hickey and especially as Philbin is. So if a business person, and remember, a GM, they make decisions off business, not off emotion. I mean, every coach is going to tell you they feel good about their team. But when the GM or the VP of operations takes a good look at this team and says, all right, we got a decision. We wait until the end of the season, and if the Dolphins are 11-5, 12-4, or even 10-6 and make a push into the playoffs, because with a defense like ours, you get into the playoffs, you can make a push, period, end of story. You got a championship-caliber defense, you can make a push. So we wait and see what happens and take our chances, or we locking up now at a bit of a discount. And it wasn't even a huge discount. He almost got a $100 million contract. So what does that tell you as a fan? It tells you that they were erring on the side of not only is Tannehill going to do something, but this team is going to do something this year. This team is going to the playoffs, and they are going to make a playoff run. And if we don't get him at a discount now, we're going to be signing him for $110, $115 million or more later. And then we can't sign OV, and we can't sign some of the other players that we want to sign, or bring in a free agent, or what have you. We hinder our ability to make this team better if we don't lock this guy up right now. And obviously they thought the odds of Tannehill busting out, and specifically this team making a push this year, was better than 50-50. Probably higher than 51-49, probably more like 60-40 or 65-35, because they didn't get a huge discount, but it was enough of a margin of error that they were not going to take the chance. They weren't even waiting one more year. So whether you hate Tannehill, whether you love Tannehill, or whether you are somewhere in the middle, that alone should get you excited to be a Dolphins fan this year. I know I am. I know I am pumped for this season. And in a little bit, you're going to hear Jimmy Bourbon. It's an interview that we recorded a little earlier, so obviously we don't talk about the Tannehill contract, but we didn't really talk about Tannehill much anyway, mostly the rest of the team. You're going to hear him predict our record, and I honestly didn't challenge it, but I thought it was, I don't know, that seems a little high for me. I wasn't sure about it, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to let you listen. But now I'm like, sounds like it might be spot on. Maybe we could even do better than that. And yeah, it hasn't changed the team. It hasn't changed the quarterback, this contract. But what it does is it lets you know that the people who are making the decisions have faith, not just in the quarterback, in what this team is going to do this year. I think it's even more about that. Did Joe Flacco win the Super Bowl? Did he win it all himself? No. Did he go on a good run? Heck yes, he did. He did go on a good run. Baltimore played their cards. They lost. They had to sign him to a big contract. But a lot of it was about the way the defense played. the way Bolden played, the way they ran the ball, all of it came together. It wasn't just about Flacco. To me, Flacco's a little better than average quarterback who he brings it on strong when he needs to bring it on strong a lot of the times. They see a team like that in this 2015 Miami Dolphins team, I'm telling you, and it should make you feel real confident going into this season. Brady suspended or not suspended, Jets, Bills, I don't care. I don't care. This team is going to do something this year. I feel it. I feel it building. And you should feel it too as a Dolphins fan. And with that, I'm going to give you my conversation with Jimmy Bourbon.
All right. I'm here talking with Jimmy Bourbon. He is the writer for FinNews.com and owner of AceSportsBook.com. How you doing, Jimmy?
Not too bad, Ron. How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
All right. Want to just ask you a few questions today about the draft, the roster, things like that. So I'll get started.
Perfect.
What were your thoughts on the past draft?
I got a lot of thoughts on the draft, actually. For starters, I think it went pretty well. You know, in the first round, there was a lot of talk about, you know, who we were going to pick. There was a lot of different options. You know, towards the end, you know, there was a chance that, you know, we might have traded up to get a receiver. And we were even another key player we were looking at was Todd Gurley. So the way the draft, you know, fell to place in the first round, I think was perfect because Gurley was not in a position of immediate need, and he's not even 100% healthy. So the Rams kind of, you know, helped us out by making that decision a little easier. And then, you know, teams like Minnesota and Cleveland, who we thought were going to take a wide receiver, you know, opted to go a different path. So, you know, Parker was one of our top guys on the board, and he fell right into our lap. So I was very, very pleased about that. And you know, just even from the rookie mini camp that they had about a week ago, you know, he looks like he's going to be the real deal and should really help Tannehill to, you know, step up even more to that next level.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I have to say, when I saw Todd Gurley go, I got very nervous because I thought that perhaps Parker would end up going before our pick if we didn't trade up, which I didn't think we would because we have so many other needs, and we only at the time we only had the 6 picks. We ended up with 7. When I saw Todd Gurley go, I said, oh no, this is going to be just like last year. Because for me, last year was like a kick in the head. 3 picks before we went, there was 3 guys that I was really hoping we would get. And that was, if I can remember correctly, was Zach Martin.
Definitely.
And it was
Zach.
Calvin Pace. And I don't remember his name, but the linebacker from Bama that went to Baltimore. Those were the three.
Mostly.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, okay, good. 3 of these guys, there's no way they all 3 go right now. What are the odds? And it happened. So when I saw Todd Gurley go, I said, oh, great. Here we go again. It's going to be the same story. Todd will go. Parker will go. And we'll be stuck with who knows. But it just worked out so great for us, man. I'm pretty excited about Parker. I try not to get overly excited about a rookie yet, but he does look amazing.
Yeah, and he, you know what I think I like the most about him? Is he attacks the football. He catches it at its highest point, and he's got great hands.
It's the exact opposite of what Mike Wallace would do.
Had.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Wallace was fast, but if you didn't throw it within like a frisbee-sized spot, he wasn't going to go and try and get it. He wasn't going to try and go over a receiver, or if it was underthrown a little, overthrown a little, go out for it. He just didn't. It had to hit him right in the hands, or he wasn't catching it.
Yep, and over the middle, he had alligator arms too, so...
That's true. And we were trying to force him over the middle. We needed him to do more things than he was really designed to do, if you will.
Exactly. I mean, just on a side note, I mean, the whole wide receiving group that we have now that we remodeled is just, you know, 10 times better, I feel like. And personality-wise, we don't have that diva receiver like we had in Marshall and Wallace these last, you know, basically this last decade.
Definitely, because there's not a person in the receiver core that doesn't have something to prove. Like Kenny Stills, he got kind of shipped out to Miami. I assume he has something to prove to still, you know, still show that he could be elite because he has elite speed. Yep. Jarvis Landry is a second-year guy. Parker's a rookie. Jennings is the older veteran. He's beyond going out and trying to be a diva now. He's starting to wrap up his career a little. I agree totally with that. I think we have a chance to have a really good room, and Tannehill needs that. He doesn't need receivers that don't like him or don't like the QB.
Yeah, and not only that, the way the offense how Laser has it tailored is it's a spread ball attack. So there isn't really a number one receiver. You know, it's the open man. You go through your reads, and everybody gets a shot for the ball. I mean, there was plenty of games last year where, you know, Tannehill spread the ball to 8-9 different receivers.
Yeah, definitely. Now let's maybe move on to that second round pick. Definitely more controversial, to actually use your word from a piece that you wrote, the controversial pick. What are your thoughts on that pick? Because it was controversial for obviously more than one reason.
Yeah. Well, for starters, initially I was very upset by the pick, and I think it was more because I really wanted Denzel Perryman, and I felt he was just perfectly fit our need. I mean, he came from Miami University. He looked like, you know, one of those guys you just plug into the middle, and he would, you know, he could be our next Zach Thomas.
Yes, I know all Dolphins fans are always looking for the next Zach Thomas for sure.
So yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, I was upset about that, but then, you know, actually it took me about a week to like settle in on me and grow on me. And I think this guy Phillips has a lot of potential. And I mean, he's an athletic freak as well. I mean, they said he could do a backflip standing up. I mean, for a guy his size, that's incredible. And then, you know, with his concerns over, you know, being lazy and playing every down, I think he's in a perfect environment with Sue and Wake and Vernon. I mean, they're going to push him, and he's not really going to have a chance to be lazy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's been, every single time a conversation comes up about Phillips, motor, lazy, and work ethic come up. I don't know how, at this point, if I were him, you can't be working absolutely as hard as you ever have to shed that perception.
Exactly.
But I also thought it was controversial mostly because we just spent so much money in the interior of the D-line, and there were so many other needs. I think it upset people, but apparently it was the best player sitting on their board, and they were determined, at least in those first few picks, we're taking the guy who is best available, period, no matter what the position. And they did stick to that.
I agree with that. And you know what? The only thing I will say in defense is that we needed possibly two defensive tackles because we did get rid of Starks and Odrick. So even though we did get Sue, and a lot of people forget that Mitchell – you know, he's probably going to be the starter, but, you know, he really hasn't had that much experience as a starter because in Houston, he spent a lot of time as a rotational player, and even last year. So I think it was actually more of a need than we thought, and also considering that that was one of our biggest weaknesses and how we collapsed at the end of the year.
Definitely.
So it was kind of a bigger need, even though we did get Sue. Like, he needed a tag team partner.
No, I like the pick now that I see the puzzle piece, but at the time I was like, oh, I was looking at the linemen, the interior offensive linemen available.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, we can really, really do something here. And when we went D-line, I was like, huh? I just didn't, I mean, as a fan and not someone in the business, I just didn't understand it. But now that I've had more time to really look at it, if he works out, and I said this before, I don't know if maybe you'll agree with me or not, if he works out, I could see Sue and Phillips being like a Bowens and Gardner from back in the day when we had those two interior linemen and no one was running on us in the middle. Nobody.
Yeah. And if he works out, I would say even better because, I mean, Sue is a potential Hall of Fame player right there.
For sure. Exactly. So if Phillips worked out, you're right. That duo could be even better than Bowens and Gardner, the best interior line duo that we've ever had on the team if he works out.
Yeah, so it's a big if.
Yeah, it is, but he definitely has the physical abilities. I mean, he appears to be able to do everything physically that you need him to do. It's just, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
It's always a 50-50 shot.
And he's in a good spot because Sue's going to be taking double teams, you know, all games. So, you know, he's going to only have to, you know, beat one guy.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Any thoughts on the fourth-round pick, Jameel Douglas from Arizona State, the O-lineman we drafted?
You know, I think it was a perfect fit pick. I mean, we waited a little bit long, I thought, to draft a guard, and we obviously need one. And schematically, he fits perfectly for our zone blocking. And, you know, from what I've heard in camp, he should be the starting left guard.
As long as it's not Dallas Thomas, I'm fine with that.
Exactly. I mean, again, he should definitely be better than Dallas Thomas, which isn't really saying much. But again, I mean, right off the first three picks, there's a chance to kind of have three starters.
That's very true. That's very true that we had that. And we really just about did that last year, too. At least Billy Turner will likely start this year. So
exactly.
We, you know, in two drafts in a row, first three rounds, three starters. That's good drafting, if it works out to be that way. And let's dig a little bit more into that fifth round, man. I thought we did a phenomenal job in that fifth round.
Oh, excellent. And you know what? I guess that is another part of the Phillips pick, because we got two fifth round picks from that. So, mm-hmm. you know, you have to look at that whole trade back, and we took this player, but we also got two other picks for the fifth round from it. So, and what you just said was a great addition to our team, what we did in the fifth round.
Yeah, I like it. I'm super excited about Jay Ajayi. I don't know how you feel about him, but I thought that was a steal. I know that there's the knee issues in the medical, and that's the reason he was sitting there in the fifth round, but I still thought it was a great pick.
Yeah, I'm pumped about him. I really think he played two straight seasons at Boise and didn't have any injury problems. I mean, I think this is more just a concern that his knee won't hold up and will have a short career. But hey, even if he does well for 3 years, I'll take it.
Yeah, and a running back can come in and have immediate impact in the NFL. That's one of those positions that they're able to come in and just figure it out a little faster than some others, at least that we've seen as fans anyway. I know that that's been the perception I have.
I think immediately he's going to make us better on third down and inside the red zone.
And what I do like is he's considered by most of the pundits as the best blocking, pass protecting back in this draft, even better than Gurley, better than Melvin Gordon as far as his pass protection. And obviously we know that we need that, because Miller, even though he's gotten better, he's never been fantastic.
That's always been his kind of Achilles heel.
Exactly. And Ajayi can also catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, he can be on the field on all three downs if we wanted him to be. That's exciting for me.
I think Lazor's going to have a good time with him.
I agree. Any other thoughts and any other draft picks that we got in the fifth round?
I like also Sed Thompson.
Okay, yeah, there's been
Minnesota.
Very little talk about him. Most people have, and I don't know a lot about him, so go ahead. I'd love to hear about
him. He's a ball hawk, and you know, I'm not exactly sure how many interceptions he had last year, but it was like between four and six last year. He actually reminds me a lot of Rashad Jones when he was coming out of Georgia. Mm-hmm. You know, we both drafted them in the fifth round.
Yeah, another fifth rounder, I was just about to say.
Both ball hawks, and they're both, he's a little bit raw on, you know, his tackling and just like taking angles, you know, in the back. So, you know, I'm interested to see if this coaching staff can do the same thing that they did with Jones and just coach him up a bit so he can take better proper angles, you know, defending deep balls and stuff like that. But I think he's going to be another ball hawk and potentially to take over for Delmas. You know, after he leaves, or depending, you know, how healthy he can be.
I hope that he can be healthy. Now, do you think we're overlooking a guy I'm still kind of excited about? Is I like Walt Akins. I'd like to still see what he can do at the safety position. What are your thoughts on him?
I agree. I mean, he came in. He had some snaps last year. I mean, I think he had one interception. He's got some length compared to most of our, you know, smaller QB cornerbacks and safeties. So I think he does give us a little bit something extra with the height. And yeah, like you said, he was a bit raw. He was drafted later on, and I think he was from a small school.
Yes.
But again, I think we're doing a decent job coaching up some of these players. So another year under his belt, yeah, he should be able to compete.
I agree. Definitely. I mean, I'm excited about it. I'm curious to see where that goes, especially it looks like Delmas is really – I mean, I just read an article that said Delmas is well ahead of track to even maybe participate fully in minicamp.
Yeah, that's what they said. And they said the reason is because he only tore his ACL, whereas a guy like Albert had his MCL torn as well.
Okay.
So they said when you tear the ACL and the MCL, it's like 10 to 12 months. But if you just do the ACL, then it's actually 6 to 8 months. So he is ahead, and he's also like at – the six-month range on it.
Yeah, I'd heard that Will Davis, of course, you know, Will Davis also tore his ACL last year. that Will Davis tore his ACL before Delmas, and Will Davis was still walking around on crutches while Delmas was just walking around with nothing. Omar Kelly said that, I believe, this past Saturday.
Unfortunately, I feel like Will Davis is going to just really not do much for us.
You don't think so? Why do you think? Do you think it's just the health, or are you just not,
I think
not
it's a health,
sold on him?
I think it's more of a health thing, just like kind of what you said in the fact that, you know, he got hurt before Delmas, and Delmas is ahead of him. And Davis has kind of been hurt every year of his, you know, his short career with us. So I don't think he's ever really going to be fully healthy. And now that we brought in so much competition in the cornerback spot, I don't know if he's going to be able to get up to speed with everybody else and kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Let's talk about that competition at that second quarterback spot, because if you look at the other draft pick we got, Bobby McCain out of Memphis, he's extremely short. I mean, he's very small. If somehow he did grab that starting spot over Jamar Taylor, Will Davis, and we paired him with Brent Grimes, even though Brent Grimes is a Pro Bowler, that's a really tandem.
Tiny.
That's a tandem of very small corners. I wonder if that's a disadvantage to us.
It could be a disadvantage, especially considering who we're expecting to start as the nickel back is going to be Bryce McCain.
Yes, because he said himself that he's a nickel cornerback. That's his comfort zone.
And he's just as small as those guys. So that is kind of an issue.
It does fit more running. If we were running a man-to-man, more of a, you know, a man scheme instead of a zone scheme, it would definitely not work. But perhaps running more of a zone scheme, it'll still work better to our favor. I mean, but you're not going to lock down two or three receivers with those three guys. I mean, if the receivers are all 6'2", 6'4", 6'5", I don't see that working. So that should be interesting. I'm really kind of hoping that Jamar Taylor is going to be able to get healthy and take that. I think he has the most talent out of the bunch, honestly, out of everybody that has potential to start opposite of Brent Grimes. But I think it's definitely a question mark right now for the team of who is going to start opposite Brent Grimes.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree also that I hope and I feel like Jamar Taylor is probably the front runner, because he has played and he has flashed ability, and he's actually looked decent against the run a few times as well. So I think he can kind of help on the outside as well.
I hope so. I hope so. Any other last thoughts on the draft before we move on?
I mean, one other guy just to throw in there, that Tony Lippett from...
Yeah, the wide receiver we drafted to be a cornerback.
I don't think he's really going to do much this year. I think he's more of a project, but it was an interesting pick. I mean, he was a Big Ten top receiver. I think they voted him as one of the best receivers in the Big Ten, which, I mean, that's a quality division. And he also, we're going to want him to play cornerback. And he's like 6'3", so he has something that we don't have with those smaller cornerbacks. So, you know, maybe in 2 or 3 years, he's a player that might be able to, you know, be productive for our team.
I found that a very interesting pick that we drafted. A wide receiver that I don't, for some reason I thought I heard that he had literally played 18 snaps at cornerback. I don't know that that's an accurate number or not, but I know his resume as a corner was very limited. I was just very surprised that they did that.
Yeah, it was very limited, but I think they're predominantly just going to use him as cornerback. I don't even think they're going to try and play with him at wide receiver in the beginning.
That's pretty awesome. Now the one glaring need that we obviously ignored in the draft, but it seemed to work out, and you wrote an article about it called Miami Hits Post-Draft Bullseye, or the fact that we felt like we needed more linebacker help and we did not get that through the draft. But your thoughts on the three linebackers we did grab post-draft, and how you like them and who you see as a front runner to maybe even make the 53?
Yeah, I like them a lot. I mean, like you just said, it was a need that we knew we needed going into it, and we didn't even address it. But they went right out, and there was four guys, and they were both top 10 for tackles in the entire nation. So they got guys with high motors, lots of tackles. So I would imagine at least one of them is going to make the team. I know that they actually wanted Mike Hull. They were looking at him as a possible draft choice.
Okay.
So, I mean, kudos to that they got him without even having to waste a draft pick on him. And then, you know, I also like Vigil, Zach Vigil.
Vigil, I've heard that he has size, speed. He has the physical makeup of a linebacker that you're looking for.
So I think the – and then the other two is
– Jeff Luke, Luck, right?
Yep, yeah, Jeff Luck. Luke.
Uh-huh.
And then Neville, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce his name, but I feel like Hull and Vigil will be the two, you know, front runners to make the roster and possibly maybe even one of them, you know, start as one of our outside linebackers.
So start over Jenkins or McCain?
Well, McCain possibly. I think Jenkins is the real deal. He played amazing last year and just really like filled in and actually played better than Ellerby and Wheeler, who he paid a lot of money for.
Yeah, that just didn't work out. That was just the last of the Jeff Ireland throwaways.
Exactly. McCain, I mean, I know a lot of people and a lot of fans are very high on McCain, but he really didn't play that much last year. So, I mean, I'm not sure how much he's going to, you know, produce for us. I mean, I feel like he falls into the category of a Billy Turner. Like, we're really counting on him, but we really don't know that much about him.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you at this point, unless you're going to go in and start an undrafted rookie, one of the ones we mentioned, McCain's a starter. He's a strong side starter. Unless you're going to start one of the other guys and they really come up. Now, Chris McCain was undrafted last year and he really came up and he saw earlier action because of all the injuries in that Patriots game. I mean, everybody was just getting – all our linebackers were getting carried off the field, and we were scared that those guys weren't going to be good enough. Now, all of a sudden, their backups were in, and we had McCain, an undrafted rookie, in. And unless an undrafted rookie grabs the starting spot, it looks like McCain, Jenkins, and Misi are those are our three linebackers that we're going to start. I'm excited about McCain, though. He's actually one of my favorite players to watch this year. I just think he has – elite size, speed, and the only reason he didn't get drafted were some off-the-field issues, not necessarily talent. And a lot of times if you coach those guys right and you give them that chance, they, you know, they take advantage of it.
No, you're 100% right. This guy has a lot of potential, and, you know, he did show flashes last year, and, you know, hopefully with a full season under his belt this year, it'll be exciting to see what he can do.
Yeah, I'm excited. That's another position that we're watching for sure. Let's move on. Segue to just the roster itself. What position or what unit are you most excited about this year?
Wide receiver. I like that we got a lot of new fresh blood in there, a lot of young talent, and just trying to look to see. I know it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve to get on the same page with Tannehill, but. And also in the style of offense that we have, we saw that we could, you know, move up and down the field a little bit easier than we were working, you know, with our past offensive coordinators. So I'm just excited to see, like, you know, after the bumps go out of seeing, you know, how we gel together and, you know, if we can be an elite offense, this could be very scary because these guys could be together for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, who do you see as the star of this receiving core? I have my favorite. I'm curious before I say it. What is your favorite or you see this the star?
I feel like the star in the beginning is going to be Landry.
Okay. That's who I see as the star as well. Is Landry. He's my favorite of the bunch right now.
I love the way he plays. I mean, a lot of motion. He's, you know, he's not going down. He's going to fight for the extra yard. You know, he catches everything, you know. He does make a couple. He dropped a couple balls and had a couple fumbles, but you know I think he cleans that up. And you know he's the go-to third down receiver.
I agree, and I see him just being a monster out of the slot. I see us the way our roster is made up, running a whole bunch of three wide receiver set. Like that's just our 80% of our offense is running that three wide receiver set. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, and also too because of Tannehill's skill set. He does a lot of quick hitch passes and quick hitting passes, and that's, you know, exactly what Landry, you know, is going to be doing.
Oh, for sure. So if we're running that three wide receiver set, who's sitting the bench? Because when you're talking about Stills, Jennings, Jarvis Landry, and Parker, I mean, someone unless we go four wide a lot, someone's going to be sitting the bench some. Who do you see that as sitting the bench?
I think in the beginning of the year, Jennings will get the start over Stills, but I feel like Stills is kind of a sleeper. He's got a lot of speed. He was very good in Oklahoma. He was very good in New Orleans as well. I think he had one of the top, you know, yards per catch averages in the league as well. So he could be a player that he doesn't get a lot of time in the beginning because Jennings is the vet, but he's going to make his plays and just demand more time.
I agree. I think that at first it could be Stills, and I think that Parker's just going to show too talented to have sitting on the bench very often, even though he's a rookie. I it looks that way, but we'll see more once the mini camp starts, the training camp starts, and he's actually going against the big boys, because he was out there catching balls against tryout guys. Honestly, so we'll definitely see more. Any other units that you're excited to see for the Dolphins?
Maybe running back, just because I think with Ajayi in there now, and you know, don't sleep on Damian Williams, another undrafted, you know, running back from last year.
From Oklahoma.
And then couple him with Lamar Miller, we could have a pretty decent running attack.
Yeah, I kind of see that perhaps Gillislee doesn't make this team this year unless he just super shines on special teams and the special teams coach just bangs on the table to keep him. I don't see how Gillislee stays on. I mean, either Gillislee or LaMichael James, one of them's not going to be on the team once we cut to 53.
Yeah.
I don't see us keeping five running backs. We usually keep four. Most teams keep four.
Yeah, and I would say probably LaMichael James gets the nod over him just because, you know, he has done punt and kickoff returns. I mean, I remember him in Oregon doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he would get the nod over, and he is faster as that part of the unit of the team.
Yeah, for sure. And what about weaknesses in the roster? What area are you most concerned about? I have mine, but what are your thoughts?
Well, the two biggest – first one, definitely guard.
Yes.
I mean, we're basically starting two rookies at guard. You know, if we're pretty much set that we think Jamil Douglas is going to beat out Thomas, and he's a rookie, and Turner, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he's a rookie as well.
Yeah, you're right, because he only played a couple games last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how those guys handle up in a 16-game season. I mean, hopefully Brandon Albert will be healthy.
That's the big question, right? Brandon Albert, because if Brandon Albert doesn't come in and start the season, that's an interesting looking offensive line about the way we have to shuffle everything around to make it work.
Yeah, then we're putting, you know, Juwan James back at left tackle. Yeah, now we got to find a right tackle.
And that's either going to be Billy Turner, which we're questioning him at guard, or is it going to be Fox, which he's a backup player.
Yeah, and at the moment, I mean, the natural positions is Albert's a natural left tackle,
mm-hmm.
Pouncey's a natural center, and James is a natural right tackle. I mean, to get the most out of those guys, you have to have them playing their natural positions. So if we don't have somebody healthy, it's going to put everybody out of whack, which, you know, is not a good thing.
It literally, Albert not coming back, it changes almost the entire offensive line, because you can't just put the backup guy over there. You have to put Juwan James. You have to put the next best left tackle, period. I mean, that position, and that's the worst position to have a question mark on, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm honestly nervous about that. I'm really hoping Brandon Albert is going to be ready to start the season,
because
apparently
it's going to be very tight, because he's intending to play for game one, but you know, that's not even a definite.
No, it's not. It is not. But if he does, I think our O-line is, it's kind of shaping up, but there's still big questions in the interior for sure. Because, you know, we got a rookie, you got Billy Turner. I mean, but on the outside and in the middle, we're real solid. I like the job Juwan James did at right tackle last year.
Oh, yeah, I thought he played really well.
For sure. What about, we had talked a little bit about the linebacking core before, but do we think, or do you think that with the D-line perhaps being absolutely maybe the strength of the team, definitely the strength of the defense, it'll help those linebackers shine because they're not going to be getting a lot of second-level blocking. They're going to be able to roam free.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. That's exactly what I was thinking about earlier when we were talking about it. You know, they'll mask some of the deficiencies in the linebacking group because we're going to be so stout in the middle, like and on the ends as well. So, I think teams are not going to be able to run on us. I mean, if you remember in the beginning of the season, we were, you know, top three, top five in run defense. So now with a guy like Sue, you know, we should be like top two in run defense.
Yeah, I would hope so. It's just when you think about Wake, say it's Phillips, or let's say it's Irma Mitchell, but say it's Wake, Mitchell, Sue, and Vernon. I mean, that's you can't double team. You only can wonder if you're going to leave five O linemen in and send everybody out. You can only double team one guy, and that's going to be Sue. But if you want to double team more than one, you got to leave in a tight end. You got to leave in a running back, and it starts to depreciate the effectiveness of your offense when you have to do that.
Exactly, and which makes it's going to make it a little bit easier for, you know, cornerbacks and linebackers.
Yeah, I hope, and we saw that when that defensive line was playing well last year, Jenkins came in and just looked like a star on some of these games. He just looked, we were like, who is this guy? He just looked amazing.
Yeah, he was actually, that's why I'm so impressed by him. He was what we were looking for in Wheeler and Ellerbe, not just making tackles, but getting sacks, causing fumbles. He did all that.
Do you think Koamisi is still playing out of position, and would you wish for someone else to be playing middle linebacker and let Koa go back to the outside? Or are you sold on Koa on the inside?
No, I would rather have him on the outside.
Philbin loves him, though, man.
I know.
Philbin loves him some Koamisi.
He does. I think they like, too. I mean, he's a real lunchbox, you know, kind of guy. He just does whatever the coaches say. He's always in the right position. I mean, hopefully, since that wasn't his natural position, being middle linebacker, another year will help him out. And he was a bit banged up last year, so hopefully a little bit healthier will help out as well.
Yeah, he was fighting through that ankle injury that he hurt again in the game against the Patriots when all our linebacking core went out with injuries. He had been pretty much playing through an injury the entire season.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. So where do you see us in the division, especially now considering Brady looks like he's probably going to get four games? Maybe it gets knocked down to two, but they're going to have Jimmy Garoppolo. That's obviously a downgrade for them. What do you see us finishing in the division? Are we still just fighting for a wild card, or do we have a shot at this?
Actually, you know, like I said, I think we're going to – I did a little bit of the prediction on each game in the schedule, and I think that last game of the year against the Patriots will decide who wins the division. Mm-hmm. We are going to be home, and I think we might be able to do it. We might be able to win the division with about 11 wins.
11 wins. Have you broken down who those losses and wins are? Give us a little look into the future.
Sure. Let me just pull up a little information. You know, I don't have it at the top of my head, and we'll see here. All right, so, you know, to start off the season, you know, we kind of have a pretty easy schedule to start off the season. I mean, we're going against Washington Redskins and the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, both teams are coming off very bad records. I mean, they both had some improvements, but both of those games I have us winning, even though they're on the road.
Yeah, I was going to say they're both road games, but I don't see us as a team that struggles on the road. I just don't. Even in the Soprano years, Sperano, whatever the dude's name.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. I
even though we were like a better road team than we were a home team, it just seems like I don't worry about us going on the road. I just never have for whatever reason.
100%. I agree, because like you just said, I've never really worried about the road. We've always, for whatever reason, we've always played better on the road the last maybe 10 years.
Yeah, it's because we needed some stadium upgrades. Maybe it'll be different now.
Yeah, and hopefully now, I mean, they said that ticket prices are, you know, at record highs, and, you know, there's a lot of demand for them. So, you know, we're probably going to get a lot more intense fans and sellouts.
I hope so, because if I could just kind of pause this for 2 seconds and just say that in last year when I went to the Patriots game, I was just surrounded by nothing but Patriots fans. It was like frustrating. It was like almost unenjoyable at times until we started, you know, kicking their tail. Then it was really enjoyable. But at first, it was hard. I was like, I want to be at a Dolphins game and be surrounded by Dolphins fans, not fans from the other team.
I know. One of the negatives we have is Miami is a great place to go visit. So you know what? A lot of these away fans, they're like, you know what? Maybe I'll go to that game because it's going to be nice weather. So they come in hordes down there.
That's a good point. If you're going to go to an away game somewhere, why not Miami?
So we lose a little bit of that home field advantage because we get so many other, you know, teams' fans coming to these games.
But I have been to games where I felt that home team just madness, and it's not real often. I gotta be honest with you. In Miami, I think we need to step up our fan game in general as fans when we're at these games. But I have been to a few games. It was a few years back. I went to a Monday night Jets game, and it just felt like maybe what it would feel like if you're at a Green Bay or Cleveland game. There was a lot of Jets fans, but the Dolphins fans were just overwhelming. They were loud. It was packed out. It was great. I want to see more of that. The Dolphins need more of that from the fans.
Yeah, you're right. We as fans need to step up a little bit more, you know, step up our game.
Yeah, for sure. And we need to go to more games. I know it's Florida and there's always something else to do. But okay, so you've got wins for the Jags and the Redskins. So what you got next there?
So then we have, two home games. First one against Buffalo and then Jets. I'm doing these together just because I feel like we're going to split the two games.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to win both of them at home. You know, if I had to pick which one we were going to win and lose, I would say we're probably going to lose the Buffalo game and then beat the Jets. So kind of start the season 3-1 going into the bye week.
Okay.
Then, next on the schedule, we have the Titans at Tennessee. But I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. So I have us definitely beating them.
Is that because they're starting Mariota or because they're just not a very good team in general?
I think they're just not a very good team in general. They got a lot of, you know, holes. You know, they weren't very good last year, and I don't think just having Mariota is going to be the answer right away for them. So, you know, we should be able to take care of business in Tennessee.
All right, and what you got next?
Yeah, next one we have at home against Houston. I know we've had our problems with Houston.
It's more than our problems. We've never beat them.
Yeah.
Ever.
Ever. But I feel like this is the year we're going to beat them. I think they have, you know, a big question mark at quarterback. So I'm not really sold. I know, you know, J.J. Watt is probably the best defender in the league, but, you know, he can't do it all himself. And, you know, they lost Andre Johnson and Foster is 1 year older. You know, so I think we finally beat them this year.
It's we're well overdue, that's for sure.
Yeah, just playing the odds, we should beat them.
Yeah, that's true. If you're gonna just keep playing, you see black come up 10 times on the roulette wheel. It's like, exactly. All right, I'm playing red. I'm going for it. All right, what you got next for us?
So next we have New England at New England on a Sunday. I'm sorry, on a Thursday night. I think we lose to New England in New England. Okay. You know, I think we'll play well against them. I mean, hopefully we beat them, but, you know, conservatively, I'll say we'll lose that game. Next, we play at Buffalo. Since I said we were going to lose against Buffalo the first game, I don't think we're going to get swept by Buffalo. So I do think we can, you know, win one of the two, and this will be the one actually on the road that we win.
Okay.
The next two group of games, we'll play the Eagles in Philly, and then we'll play Dallas in Miami. Again, those two teams are both, you know, they were both very good teams last year. They're both predicted to be just as good, you know, this year. I think the Eagles had a lot more turnover than the Cowboys. And, you know, Bradford's a kind of a wild card. He's a good quarterback, but who knows if he could stay healthy. And you're already talking.
We may be facing Mark Sanchez by the time.
Exactly. I mean, that's week 10. So, you know, again, I'll be conservative. I'll say we'll split those two games. We'll beat Philly. Actually on the road again, and then lose at home to Dallas. And then next we go to New York. Since I said we beat New York in the first game, again, I'll be conservative. You know, the Jets did get better. They always give us problems. I'll say that we'll lose to New York in New York. And then it gets a little interesting. I feel like we're going to get on a bit of a run in December and actually turn our fortunes and kind of close out the season well.
Because what game's coming up next? Is Baltimore? Is that the next
Baltimore,
game?
Yeah, Baltimore at home, which again is a team that we had a tough time beating. But I feel like we got tougher mentally this year. We got a lot of tougher players.
I think that every time we go to play Baltimore for me, that's going to be a game that says a lot about this team. It always seems to say a lot about our team.
Exactly. But
they are a true rival for us, at least in my mind. They are a nemesis for us. They have tortured us, tormented us. They beat us up. They always beat us when we need to get that win. They've been the reason the few times we've been in the playoffs recently, we got just shellacked. We really, this year, if we want to show that we're a playoff team and we're serious and a contender, we got to beat Baltimore this time. We have to.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, in my mind, that's like the team we want to be. They're tougher. You know, they always play tough on that game that you need to win, and they always beat us. And, you know, if we're really at the next level, that's a team we have to win, you know, that we have to beat. And you know what? I'm going to say that we finally do it this year.
All right. I hope so, man. I hope you're right, because I think I'm going to feel really good about this team at that point if we go and we beat Baltimore. I'll feel really good about us. And I know we have a lot of home games in December, too, which is hopefully going to help us
down
the stretch.
Last four or five games are all at home. And, you know, if we can beat Baltimore, then I have us already at 7-4. So I think, and like you just said, if we beat them, I think it'll give us a nice push for the rest of the season. Next, leading into the New York Giants at home. I mean, the Giants are going to be better. You know, Eli Manning is still Eli Manning. You know, he gets a little erratic, but he'll have Cruz back this year along with Beckham Jr. So I think they're going to be a better team than last year, but I think we can beat the Giants at home.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm thinking so. That's when we're wearing the throwback jerseys that game, I believe, too. The 66 jerseys, they're breaking them out for that.
Oh, perfect. So, yeah, they should be, you know, and it's a Monday night game, so, you know, there'll be a little extra fire.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. I didn't realize that was a Monday night game. Oh, yeah, that definitely. That's going to be awesome, seeing those throwback jerseys. It's been a while.
Yeah, that'll be nice. And then next we go to San Diego, and I know it's tough, you know, going across to the West Coast, but that's a team we've actually had their number. So I believe we can, you know, I don't think they're going to be as good as everybody thinks. You know, Philip Rivers is another year older, and, you know, he gets a little bit, you know, he has his problems, especially against us. So I think we win that game.
I agree. That's probably when Chargers fans are looking at their schedules, I think, why can't we ever beat Miami? Every time we go to play them, they just whip us. They destroyed us. That's interesting, too, that I guess every team has that team that's maybe outside of their division that the fans look at it like, man, we got to figure out a way to beat this team.
Yeah, and that's – fortunately, we do have one team that we can beat, so I think we continue.
Good, good.
Week 16, second last game of the season, we play Colts. I'm actually going to say we lose that game, but it could be a game we win because they should be able to wrap up the AFC South by that time, so they might be resting some starters. We have beaten Luck in the past, but again, conservatively, I'll say we'll lose to the Colts. I mean, I think the Colts could be one of those teams that could – they can go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. So I don't think we're there yet. So I'll say we'll lose to the Colts.
We play that team well, though. We have played that team traditionally well, even when they had Peyton Manning, even back in the day. We traditionally seem to play the Colts well and make the games tough.
We do. And we had a great, thrilling victory against Luck in the first time we played them. So, you know, we can win that game. But, again, just to be conservative, I'll say we'll lose it.
Understood.
And then last, we end up with New England in Miami. And again, I feel like the AFC East has gotten tighter. We've closed the gap a little bit, and I think we win at home. And I think that could be the game that decides who wins the division. And hopefully, you know, that'll be us.
Yeah, definitely. So that puts us at, what, 11 wins?
11 wins, 4 losses. And I think we get, you know, I think that last game will put us over as the AFC champs.
That would be great to beat New England for the AFC. And they would probably, the NFL would likely flex that game to Sunday night if it was for the division.
Yeah, and also the reason why I think, you know, New England could be an 11 or 10 win team is because they're going to be without Brady for the first 4 games. And they play teams like the Steelers, Bills, Jacksonville, and Dallas. I mean, there could be 2 losses right there. And then they have a very tough schedule, tougher than us. So I think, you know, they're going to have a couple more losses on their record this year.
Are you concerned that it'll be a repeat of 2007 after Spygate came down? And I had said this in a previous show that they were just so mad and angry at the league, they went through just purposely trying to run up the score on teams and trying to just obliterate teams instead of even getting wins. Does that thought cross your mind at all?
A little bit. I mean, it kind of happened this year when you think about it. When they kind of got blown out in the beginning of the season against Kansas City, everybody started doubting them. Tom Brady's done. And then they pretty much, after that, they were a different team, and we all know how it ended.
Yeah, unfortunately. It didn't end very good for us.
Yeah.
Just a depressing end to another depressing season.
Exactly. Honestly. So, I mean, it's hard to say. You know, I don't think they need much chalkboard incentive. So they have some. So, you know, they're always going to be tough when they have Brady and Belichick, you know, at the helm.
Do you see them trying to make, and not I want to get into a Patriots discussion, but do you see them trying to make some moves on defense? I mean, they lost three corners, and they didn't seem to do really anything to replace them, at least. I mean, I don't follow the team that close. Maybe they've got guys ready to step up, but I mean, you lose three corners and just say, okay, it's just strange to me.
You're right, because I did look at their draft, and they drafted a lot of defensive ends, but not really any help on cornerback spot. And I agree. I mean, you lost a guy like Revis, and that guy Browner's not he's no chump either, you know. So, and this is a passing league, and especially considering, you know, Miami upped up their passing attack. The Jets signed Marshall, you know.
And they got Eric Decker from the year before.
And they got Eric Decker from the year before. Mm-hmm. And the Bills, I mean, they're probably going to run the ball a lot with Ryan.
Yeah, but they have Sammy Watkins. I think they still have Woods. They got Clay. I mean, they
yeah, and they also they've upgraded. Kind of, yeah, and they also got Matt Cassell, that he should be a better quarterback than E.J. Manuel. So they should have a better passing attack as well. And it's a little surprising that with every team in the AFC East getting a better passing attack, that New England didn't address one of their biggest needs, which is cornerback.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just have to see how that plays out. I mean, Belichick, is for all their cheating ways, he is still a very good coach.
Yeah.
Where do you see the Dolphins' defense finishing rank-wise in the NFL this year?
I would be disappointed if it wasn't top five.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, but top five, as I said before, that's championship caliber defense. Honestly,
you're right. And we have a lot of pieces. You know, we could be very scary on offense, and we could be very good on defense. So, you know, we should be a playoff team, and you know, anything can happen in the playoffs. You know, we could be, you know, in the AFC Championship, you know, with high expectations, but that's not out of the realm.
The two things last year that really cost us not making the playoffs and not being better than 8-8 were we couldn't stop the run in the last six games, which I feel they definitely addressed that with Sue. So I'm going to call that solved. But another thing was we were number one in the NFL in trips to the red zone, but we only still finished 11th in scoring. Do you think with what we've done, we've helped fix that to get us into the top 10 in scoring?
I think that's one of the things that went under the radar of what we fixed, because Jordan Cameron, the tight end that we signed, yes, I think he's a lot better in the red zone than Charles Clay. So I think we had an upgrade in the red zone there.
Okay.
What we drafted in Parker, I think he could really add 7 to 10 touchdowns right there, and pretty much, you know, replace the production of touchdowns that Wallace put in. So, you know, or maybe even do better. So I think he'll, and especially on fades and jump balls in the end zone, he should help us score more touchdowns.
Okay.
And then Ajay, I think he can, you know, pound it in from the goal line and also, you know, come out of the backfield on the red zone as well, catching passes. So I think with those three players, we did improve in the red zone. So I think we should score more touchdowns.
Does Kenny Stills really make us better in the red zone? You think? I mean, he didn't catch a lot of touchdowns in New Orleans, and he had Drew Brees throwing him the ball.
I would say no. He's more of a big play threat, and he's a guy that can either, you know, catch the deep ball, even though Tannehill's, that's not his game, but he can still, you know, break a long slant, you know, break a slant and, you know, hit to the end zone. So I think his touchdowns are going to come from outside the 20.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Any thoughts on, and you may not really have any thoughts on it, and the fact that Casey Rogers, our D-line coach, he's over going to be D coordinator for the Jets. And now we have a new person, Terrell Williams, who I don't know anything about him. I don't know if maybe you knew anything about him at all.
No, unfortunately, I don't know much about him. I mean, I know everybody liked Rogers. You know, he was kind of a player favorite and a fan favorite. So we did take a little bit of a loss there. I hope he's good. You know, he definitely has the talent to play with, you know.
Yeah, me too, man. All right, just to give you a chance to talk about Finn News and Eight Sportsbook and everything you got going on.
Sure. Yeah, no, Finn's News, I mean, we've been going at it for about 3 to 4 years. You know, I'm a huge Finn's fan, probably been a Finn's fan for the last 29 years. You know, so I bleed the aqua and orange. And, you know, it's just, you know, these are exciting times. You go into every season with a little bit more hope. And, you know, of course, this is one of them. I felt we had a lot of good signings. You know, we got a player like Sue who we could never get before. I mean, we've tried to get Peyton Manning. You know, we've tried to get Jim Harbaugh to coach us. We couldn't get that top player. Now we got that, you know, we signed that top player. So as a Finns fan, I'm excited. And, you know, I think that also obviously helps the blog. There's a lot of Dolphin fans out there. You know, it's one of those teams we do have a lot of history, you know, back in the day, and there's a lot of fans, you know, across not just in Miami. So, you know, we might be a little bit picky or pessimistic, but, you know, there's a lot of us out there compared to, you know, teams like Tampa Bay and Jacksonville, you know, mm-hmm. and even Buffalo. So I think with the moves we made, we got our fan base pretty excited. And, you know, as a blog writer, you know, there's a lot more to talk about and a lot more positive stuff to talk about. And we're excited, you know, for obviously training camp to start and the season to get underway.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited. It's nice to be doing a show where we can talk about all these exciting things going on. And I'm hoping when the season starts, we'll be able to continue that excitement and not having to write or talk about why we're 1-3 or why we're
exactly.
looking at 8-8 again or something like that. I hope we're talking about our playoff run.
Exactly. Not disappointment, but more, you know, expectations that are being met.
Do you think that if we end up 8-8 again, they kind of do a reset, at least maybe coaching wise, quarterback wise? I think Tannenbaum definitely got another year or two. And I would even think that Dennis Hickey does, unless we see some of these picks, just a bunch of these picks not pan out. Do you think that coach and quarterback are gone if we're 8-8 again?
Well, I think the coach would probably be gone. I think Tannehill, since I think we just picked up his option, so we'll keep him. And they do really like him. I like him as well. I think he'll still be around, but they'll probably bring in some competition, maybe in a free agent or draft somebody. So especially if we're going to have a new coach, like they usually want their own guy. So I don't think Tannehill will be, you know, let go. I think he'll just have some serious competition.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Tell us a little bit about Ace Sportsbook, correct? AceSportsbook.com?
Yeah, AceSportsbook.com. So basically, not only do we do, you know, our blog, but I also run a sportsbook.com, you know, down in Costa Rica, where it's legal to do sports betting. And, you know, we accept it from all players from all around the world. And we do a bit of everything. You know, people, you know, send money and bet with us. And we have a website, so, you know, everybody can do it from their comfort of their own home, on their mobile phones, you know, laptops. They can even call in wagers. We also accept people. We kind of give them credit as well, so they can kind of bet without having to put up 100% of the money. So, you know, they can kind of form a relationship with us that way. And then we also do this aceperhead.com, which is kind of for bookmakers. So basically there's a bunch of bookies around, you know, the nation that take action and have players. So what we do is we have the site, we provide the lines, we provide the website, the customer support and service. So they just, you know, they just sit back, have a back end. They see all their, you know, pending wagers and calculate all their, you know, their daily and weekly figures, and they can mess with the lines if they want and, you know, pretty much do all the work for them. And we only charge, you know, a $10 per active player per week fee, which is very, you know, minuscule compared to what they could be making. I mean, people bet, you know, $500, $1,000 on a game. You know, people who bet $500 a week on games, you know, they could lose $10,000 in the drop of a hat. People who bet you know, $50 a game, easily can lose $400. So, you know, it's a great growing industry for us because we're providing all the service with the lines. And, you know, these guys, it's an entrepreneurial type business where they're taking action. You know, everybody likes a little bit more excitement on the game. What better way than you got a little bit of money riding on it? And, you know, we do all the work for those kind of customers. So it works out for everybody. You know, a guy with 100 guys might pay $1,000 a week, but, you know, guys like that have weeks where they win, you know, their guys lose $50,000.
Yeah, so I guess that's probably worth it for them for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, you might think, oh, I have to pay $1,000 a week and it's $50,000, you know, $52,000 a year. But, you know, we have agents like that. We call them agents and bookmakers, and, you know, they make almost seven figures. They can make $500,000, $1 million a year. So there's a huge market for it. And especially too, I mean, every year just sports are getting bigger and bigger. The NFL is just a cash cow. You know, it's getting worldwide. You know, people, they just are just a dominant force in sports.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And it's not going away. It's just getting bigger. Yeah. And even though the game is maybe getting quote unquote softer with the rules, that just seems to increase the excitement, because between the betting and the fantasy football and high scoring, I mean, people are just loving it. I know that a lot of the hardcore football fans say, oh, it's not like it used to be. That's true. It's not like it used to be, but more people are watching. So whatever they're doing,
exactly,
is still working.
That's why the NFL has, you know, some rules, how it makes it a little bit harder for defensive backs. They want more points. You know, nobody really wants to see a 10-7 game anymore. They want to see a shootout 45, you know, to 42. You know, that's something you'll talk about at the water cooler on Monday morning.
Yeah, I don't, with our defense though, I don't see us having games like that.
I hope we have
35-0. That's what I'm looking for.
I hope we have, you know, lower scoring games.
All right, Jimmy. Well, again, this was Jimmy Bourbon, writer for thefinnews.com and owner of acesportsbook.com. Thank you very much for joining me today, Jimmy. I really appreciate it.
All right, it was a pleasure. Hope to talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, man.